Russ has asked me today to preach on walking in the Spirit. And when I first got the email and I read it, I thought, oh, I think that's a bit deep. It's a bit deep for me. Like, it's a bit too spiritual. It's a bit too theological. And I toyed with it and I was like, can I say? Well, no, I don't feel like I do that enough to be able to preach on it. And I felt quite challenged by God and I prayed about it and I thought, no, I'm gonna give it a go and see, because obviously if it's something that I'm not completely clear on in myself, then I hope that I've learned quite a lot from doing the research and praying on it and meditating on it. And so I think it is something that at times we can overcomplicate and make bigger and make it into something that it's not. There is hundreds of sermons, there's hundreds of books, there's all sorts of things out there which will give us three easy steps to walking in the Spirit, or tried and tested method, this X, Y, Z, do this, we'll be walking in the Spirit. And, you know, my prayer today is just that, you know, I loved it last week when people responded to Russ, to the call of God, really, to be filled with the Spirit and to receive more of Jesus and to receive more of the Spirit into our lives. But today I want to take it one step further and say that's not just enough. Just to be filled, it's not enough. It's all very well to take your car to the garage and put petrol in and to have a full tank of petrol, but if you never do anything with that car, if that car then sits on your driveway for the next 3 weeks, what's the use in having a full tank?
Good.
It's not until somebody gets in and they switch the ignition on and they put the car into first gear and off they go. That's when the petrol is serving its purpose, and that's when it's being used. And my prayer today is that our ignition would be switched on. Yes, we've been filled and we know that the Holy Spirit is here. God is here right now. God is in each one of you. If you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, then the Holy Spirit is alive in you. But today my prayer is that, God, you would just switch on the ignitions in our hearts. Amen. That we would walk out what he's put into us. That we wouldn't just be filled full because it feels nice and it feels good, but he fills us for a purpose and he fills us for a reason. So I want us to go back a little bit, and I want people to think of that time when you first accepted Jesus. The Bible says, on that day you were born again. You became a new creation. You became someone new. And in a sense, we've kind of gone from one world into a new world. And in this new world, we're aware of the supernatural. You may have been aware of the supernatural in the old world, but this, once you've been born again, you're born again by faith. And you might say to me, oh, I'm not very good when it comes to faith. I don't have much faith. But actually, for you to be sat here this morning, it's taken faith. For you to accept Jesus, that takes faith. To take faith, to believe in a person that we've never seen, we've never physically touched, that takes faith. So if you feel like you struggle with faith, then I feel like God is saying this morning that your faith, what has brought you here this morning, that's enough. Right now, that's enough. That's all you need. So in our old lives, before we knew Jesus, we didn't need faith because we relied on our feelings and we relied on what we saw around us and we relied on what we felt like, what our emotions were telling us. And don't get me wrong, emotions and feelings and common sense, they're all good things. They are all from God. But I really believe that walking in the Spirit quite simply means that we don't rely on our feelings, but we rely on faith.
Amen.
You know, Russ mentioned a little bit about the accident that I've had recently. And for those that don't know, I was in Africa and I was crushed by a 4-ton truck. And in that moment of being crushed, I'd heard all my bones break. And in that moment, my feelings told me, you're going to die. The situation that I was in told me I was going to die. The way I felt, the whole situation just pointed to death. So, and in that moment, a girl jumped into the passenger side of the truck and she said, you are not going to die. Look at me, you are not going to die. And in that moment, although I wasn't walking anywhere, I chose to believe the word of God. And the word of God had came and the word of God had told me, I'm going to live. And I had to choose to believe that at that point. And I honestly believe the more that I've meditated on this and chewed it all over, I really believe that at that moment when I chose to live by faith and believe in faith, I believe that the path of my life changed. And I believe that I was heading one way, and because everything around me told me that. But I chose to believe I'm going to live, because that was what God had to say about the situation at that time. God told me I was going to live, and I had to believe that. And obviously, to cut a long story short, I did, and here I am. So as we do have feelings and we do have emotions, but when we walk in the Spirit, they are not to be the overriding governing factor of our life. What becomes the overriding governing factor is this. It's the word of God. It's the promises of God. It's what he tells you to do. It's what he says about you. It's who he is. When we're believing in this, when we're walking in the Spirit, it means that we are having union with the Holy Spirit. It means that we're in harmony with the Spirit. What does God say? What does God say? Is that what God says? Okay, let's do it. Let's believe it. It means that we allow ourselves to be governed by the Holy Spirit and to be submitted and to be completely yielded to the Holy Spirit. And I know that we live in a day and age today where we're told, you're the maker of your own destiny. Do what you want. Power to the people. You know, it's all about you. You make your own choices. You make your own future. You make your own fortunes. But that's the world's way. That is not the kingdom's way. The kingdom's way is to submit and yield and to ask God, what do you say, God? What do you want me to do? The scripture, as you came in, was from Romans 8, verse 6. And it says, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And who doesn't want life and peace? It's a no-brainer, isn't it? Really, the mind of the sinful man, and that was our minds before we knew Christ. That's all that means, that before we knew Christ, our minds were focused on death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit, so the mind yielded to the Spirit, the mind which is allowing itself to be governed by the Spirit, is life and peace. And I know that I would choose life and peace any day over death. So that's one reason why we need to walk in the Spirit, because it gives us life and it gives us peace. And the second reason is quite simply because that's what Jesus did. Now, if Jesus, who was God incarnate, he was the Son of God, he was, in fact, I wasn't going to read this, but I will. It's from Colossians 1, just gives such a lovely description of Jesus. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness. So all the fullness of God dwelt in Jesus. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now, if that Jesus had to yield to the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus had to do what his Father told him to do, then how much more do we have to?
Amen.
Who are we to think that we can live this Christian life by ourselves?
Yeah.
Who are we to get complacent and think, oh, I can't be bothered. Oh, I'll just do this. I just feel like that. We're no one. By God's grace, yes, we're saved and he fills us and it's amazing. But in and of ourselves, we can't live out this Christian life. I've got a few scriptures, and these are only the ones from John. So John, these are just examples of how Jesus yielded and how he submitted to the Father and to the Spirit. The first one's John 6, verse 38. It says, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. The next one's John 8, 28. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but just speak what the Father has taught me." John 12:49-50. "For I did not speak on my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." And John 14:10 says, "The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." So that is Jesus. And if he yielded to his Father, then please be encouraged. We have to. We have to be.
Amen.
There's a wonderful example of what it looks like to be led by the Spirit in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at it from Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. And it's quite long and it's quite wordy and it really gets the point across. You'll see what I mean when we read through it. "On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Whenever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with the command through Moses." And I know Russ touched on this last week, but for me, that cloud represents the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, tells them to move, and they go, they move. Then the Holy Spirit waits, and the people wait. They don't have to worry thinking, "Oh, how are we going to get there? When are we going to go? What's this going to look like when I do this?" And I do that all the time. I'm forever trying to work out what's next, what's on the next page, where do I go from here? But the Israelites coming out of Egypt, they didn't have to do any of that because they were fully submitted, fully yielded to the cloud, to the Holy Spirit, to where Jesus was, where God was telling them to go. And I don't know why we worry, because the amazing thing is that we have a cloud. Amen. That same cloud which led the Israelites out of Egypt, we have that cloud today. That cloud is actually here. We have our own personal cloud. We have a corporate cloud. We have a personal cloud. And when before Jesus ascended into heaven, in the first book of Acts, it says that he promised his Holy Spirit for the apostles. And he said to them, "Don't go anywhere until I've sent my Spirit." And he sent that Spirit, and he continues to send that Spirit. And each person, we have our own cloud. And I feel as well corporately for this church, you know, I feel that we're in a very exciting place, and the cloud of God is here, the Spirit of God is here. But are we ready for when that cloud moves, or for when that cloud tells us to do something? I need to check my heart. We all need to check our hearts. We need to be able to say, "Yes, I'm yielded. Yes, I'm ready. Yes, I'm submitted." Sometimes in that desert, it says sometimes they only camped one day, and then they had to get everything together. And it wasn't just like a little gang of people like walking around together. It was a whole community. It was a country. It was a nation. But whatever the Spirit of God said, they did. And they lived in the comfort of knowing that God is in control. God's got this. Mm. Now, there is one time that we read about where the Israelites did not follow the cloud. So we've seen what it looks like when they do follow it, but there was one time when they didn't. And we can read about that in the first chapter of Deuteronomy. But basically what happens is they come to a point and God, the cloud is going, and the Israelites say, mm-mm, I'm not going, we're not doing it. The army is too big, don't like the look of the land. No, I'm not doing it. And Moses says, no, the Lord says, now's the time. You've got to cross over. You've got to go and take the land. Go into battle. The Lord is with you. And they say, no, we're not going. So the Lord hears the grumblings and he hears all the complaints. And he says, okay, well, if you choose not to go, there'll be a consequence to that. And those Israelites did not end up entering the promised land. So then the Israelites hear this and they go, oh, okay, it's all right then, we'll go. And Moses says, no, don't go, because the cloud hasn't gone. The Lord's not with you anymore. The cloud isn't going. The Holy Spirit isn't telling you to go. You've had your chance, kind of thing, and you've blown it. So that's in the first book of Deuteronomy. So that's this far into the Bible. But the Bible carries on for that much more. And I just, when I was reading that, I was like, oh, that's a bit harsh. Like, Moses, he'd never crossed into Israel. And you think, wow, he was kind of just the mouthpiece. I don't really know what Moses did wrong. But that could have been the end of the story of Israel. But because of God's grace and because of his unrelenting, unconditional, never giving up love upon us, the Bible continues to be that much more. And that continues to work out his promises. And at that point, God could have said, okay, unlucky, you know, you've missed out. I'll choose the Amalekites or some other kites to be my chosen people. But he didn't. He persevered. And you know, maybe you're sitting there today thinking, oh, but God told me to do this 10 years ago and I didn't do it. Or I really felt the Holy Spirit leading me this way and I refused, I didn't listen. Well, there might be a consequence to that, because that's life and that's what happens with sin. But the amazing thing is that God doesn't give up. He didn't give up on the Israelites. And if we ever don't respond to him, he doesn't just give up. He's a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. So please, I don't want anyone to be sat under condemnation because God's told you to do something that you didn't do, because there would not be this book if God was not a God of second chances. So we've looked at what it means to walk in the Spirit. It means to be yielded. It means to be submitted to him. It means to allow him to govern everything that we do. We've looked at why we need to walk in the Spirit, basically because Jesus did, and he's the perfect example. We've looked at what it looks like to walk in the Spirit. So it looks like when the Israelites were in the desert. We've looked at what it looks like if we don't walk in the Spirit. So now the real key is, so how do we walk in the Spirit? And one of the preachers that I listened to was it David Wilkinson? Yeah, he's an American guy. And he said, the key to walking in the Spirit is just three little words. And he's kind of got the congregation in the palm of his hand, and they're all like this. And he says, God said to me, the key to walking in the Spirit is just say yes. Very good. Just say yes to every promise that is in this Bible. Just say yes to everything that God says about you. Whether you feel like you're the apple of his eye or not, you are. Whether you feel like you are dressed in clothes of righteousness or not, you are. Whether you feel like God's got a plan and a purpose for you, you have, because it says it in here. Regardless of your situation, regardless of where you've been, regardless of who you are, this Bible, it's for you. It's true. It's what God says about you. It's what God tells you to do. So that's how we do it. We just say yes. In Exodus 14, verse 15, this is when Moses gets to the mouth, the coast of the Red Sea, I suppose. And he must have thought, God, what are you doing? Like, I've got all these Israelites behind me. I've got the biggest army of the day right on my tail, and you bring me to the sea. Like, what is all that about? So then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Now, at that point, Moses could have looked, so his staff, it's just a piece of wood. He could have looked at that piece of wood and thought, a piece of wood is going to deliver these Israelites from the most powerful army of the day. No, I don't think so. I'm going to look stupid if I try that. Or I just don't believe it. It's just not possible. But he didn't. He practiced what God, he practiced the presence of God. He practiced what God had told him to do. He didn't look at it as a piece of wood. He looked at it as what God had said it was going to do. He didn't see it as it was. He saw what God had told him. So, you know, we know the story. It carries on, and he lifts up his staff, and the whole sea, just imagine, like, the whole sea parts, and they walk through on dry ground. But what if Moses would have looked at that and gone, no, it's a piece of wood. It's not. That's nothing. It's a piece of wood. There's no way this is going to part the Red Sea. But he just said yes. He just said yes to what God had told him to do.
Very good.
When we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives and into every aspect of our day, we, by doing that, we're asking for God's perspective upon things. And when we ask for God's perspective, I really believe that the faith which is going to rise up in us is going to change the facts of what's around us. Faith will change the facts. You know, I was being crushed by a 4-ton truck. There was no way I was getting out of there. There was people trying to lift the truck, but faith arose, and faith changed those facts. Faith meant that I'm alive, and, you know, that Satan didn't have his way. So just my prayer today is that we would yield, and we would submit, and that we would say yes to what God says about us and to what God says to us, what he tells us to do. And that's
brilliant.
Pretty much
it's
it.
It's a great message.